Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome in the third hour, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106 for the game. Joe Rexrode, Adam Vingan in this week for Robbie Stanley, trying to moderate some Joe Jared screaming, Michelle Knezovic producing, and very excited to bring in our next guest. Does a fantastic job of analyzing, writing about, talking about the Titans. Mike Herndon, writing columns for PaulKuharsky.com. Mike, how are you? All right, we may have a phone issue. Hello.
All right, I think I got you now.
Oh, good. Yeah. How's it going, Mike? What's your excitement level? Scale of 1 to 10. Watching Tennessee Titans preseason football tonight.
Yeah, I'd say for a normal preseason game, I would generally put it at like a 3, but I'll bump it up to a 5 tonight, just because of the Malik Willis factor.
There you go. Yeah. Well, that's. I think most would agree that Willis is the most interesting thing. I guess just the fact that we know that he's going to get a lot of time, and I'll be very interested to see how Vrabel does that with Woodside and Willis in these three games. But he juices up the excitement for these preseason games. Of the entire evaluation of Willis, Mike, how much would you put on these three opportunities? Because obviously it's every day in camp, and it's going to be going through the fall, and it's a long process. But that these opportunities, it's not really a game planning situation. Now, you are going to see different looks from defenses, but you're largely not going against top personnel either. So what's the value?
Yeah, I think the way to look at it is it's a window into what is going to be like a long-term development plan for him. I think, you know, obviously from a fan standpoint, looking, they haven't got to see this guy yet besides the little snippets of camp videos that are released. So this is going to be their first real opportunity to see what he looks like. And I think it's important to keep in mind with that, it's not a finished product right now. They're working on a lot with him, I think, right now, and obviously he's got the whole fire hose thing of trying to take in an NFL playbook and all the adjustments and everything that they ask a quarterback to do at this level that is not asked of quarterbacks at the college level. And there's going to be some growing pains probably. I think it wouldn't be surprising if he had some moments where he didn't quite look like he knew what was going on, but that's not a cause for alarm. And I certainly wouldn't think, you don't need to look at his box score tomorrow morning and say, oh, well, he was 7 of 16 for 80 yards and threw an interception. He's terrible. It's really more about just looking and seeing, is he going through his reads? Does he look like he's being able to line guys up correctly? How's the arm strength? How's the accuracy? That kind of thing. It's just going to be a snapshot into what, realistically, we probably won't see him again until this time next year, right? So enjoy the moments while you can, and we'll probably be in the dark for a little bit while he continues to develop behind the scenes.
Based on the information we have now, would you say you're more or less the same, optimistic that he could actually be a viable option as a starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans at some point?
I'd say I'm probably about the same. There's certainly, based on pre-draft evaluations, I think some of the stuff like the mental preparation and how he takes coaching and how mature he is as a human, I think those things are better than what I expected or what I knew in the pre-draft process, at least from my perception. And I think some of the other stuff, you know, there's, he's been up and down in camp. I think, you know, you've seen him a lot more than I have. But it's uneven. So I think there's, it's hard to project with a guy that had this much, growing to do just from, playing the quarterback position. Just, and it's not a knock on him. It's just Liberty's offense. And it's been well-worn track at this point, but Liberty's offense being what it was did not give him the best preparation for the NFL, you know, as far as being an instant, impact kind of guy. So, there's, I'd say about the same overall, but the mental makeup, I think I've been impressed with the most.
Mike Herndon of PaulKuharsky.com here on Robbie and Rex Road. Mike, you were in the middle of a social media firestorm, let's put it that way, earlier this week with a tweet that you had about Treylon Burks that was taken out of context, let's put it that way. Now that you're here, if you'd like, I mean, not that you have to set the record straight, but if you would like to set the record straight about what you were trying to say, I know you clarified on Twitter as well, but just your general thoughts on Treylon Burks' start to training camp and what you have seen from him.
Yeah, I would love to set the record straight. Yeah, it's kind of a crazy deal. So what I actually tweeted was, you know, I described two plays from training camp. I think one was a ball that Malik Willis threw down the sidelines that Burks went up to try to make this. And he really made a spectacular catch. He just didn't end up getting his second foot in bounds because the corner did a good job of pushing him out. And then I described a play where, you know, they were in a hurry-up period, and I believe Burks went in motion, and then Woodside had to kind of yell at him to move his position before the snap. So those were the two plays I described. And from that, somehow the NBC Sports Edge, or I guess it's Roto World or whatever, took that and said, Treylon Burks, working with the twos and threes, I guess inferring because I've mentioned Woodside and Willis on those two snaps, and then, you know, struggling in camp, running the wrong route, doesn't know the offense, which is a huge leap from, describing two individual plays and things that happened. So that of course got picked up by, you know, I've seen it on NFL.com, I've seen it on ESPN Fantasy updates, all these other fantasy shows, which of course are very interested in Treylon Burks, are running with this, and it's just one of those absurd things. Like, of course, Burks is also getting work with Tannehill, but it's just silly to me that has become such a widely accepted truth all of a sudden based off of one misinterpreted blurb. So yeah, Burks is fine. I think he's super impressive, actually. I think, you know, physically he is incredible, and just that catch that I described, you know, from Malik Willis down the sideline showed you the body control and contested catch making ability that, like, the Titans, even AJ Brown, who was very good at that kind of thing, I don't think he was quite as good in that particular part of the game as Burks is. So I think that's a special ability. I think he's going to be a red zone guy right away, and I think he's going to make some big plays for this offense. So, yeah, I totally disagree with the idea that he is struggling and second and third team right now.
No room for nuance on social media. So
absolutely not. 180 characters or however many it is isn't much to get in a lot of context.
No, not at all. And just because we're you know, masochists on this show, I'm going to drag you into the new and improved Ryan Tannehill conversation that we've been having for the last couple of days. And Joe and Jared had a spirited debate, not just yesterday, but also this morning. Have you seen a new and possibly improved Ryan Tannehill, or are we falling prey to typical training camp bluster and excitement?
I do think he's been better than what I expected, and that's not to say, like, my expectations were super low or anything, but given the number of new targets, when you think about, you know, who his top targets are in this offense, you're talking Robert Woods, Treylon Burks, Austin Hooper, Chig Okonkwo, Kyle Phillips, you know, NWI, I guess, would be the sixth out of that, what I would expect to be the six guys that lead the Titans in catches this year. out of those six, one was here last year. So it's a huge change as far as pass catchers go. And obviously, you know, him coming in, knowing knowing Todd Downing and having that relationship already from last year, I think gives them a little bit of help in that regard. But I was expecting a little bit more miscommunication, a little bit more, guys not being on the same page than what I think we've heard about so far. So based on that, I think he's exceeded expectations. And by all accounts, it seems like he's getting extra work in with Hooper. He's getting extra work in with Woods. And part of that is what you should be doing as a leader of an NFL football team. But he's doing it, and it seems to be working and paying off with some good performances in camp. And, you know, camp performances are what they are. And obviously nobody needs to throw a parade for Tannehill till we get really into January and see him do it in a playoff game. But I think he's been better than I expected, and this offense is been a little bit more smooth as far as integrating these new pieces than what it could have been.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. I mean, the presence of all of his targets when there was some question coming into camp has been huge. And you compare that to last year's camp, now there's no doubt that's a huge difference. Mike Herndon with us, PaulKaharski.com. One last thing, Mike. Non-Willis, pick a player tonight who you're most intrigued by.
I mean, I guess it's probably got to be either I'll give you two. I'll split the difference on Burks and Kyle Phillips. Burks, obviously, we'll see how much run he gets. I think he'll probably play, but he's going to be very interesting to watch. See him go against other jerseys in a real game. See guys actually have to tackle him to the ground, which is not an easy task to do, which we haven't really gotten to see a whole lot of in camp yet. So I'm excited about that. And then Kyle Phillips, who's kind of been one of the stars of camp, excited to see him in that same setting. So I think those rookie wide receivers who they're going to be relying on quite a bit this year are the guys that I'd be most excited to see besides Willis.
Yeah, and Phillips really surging lately. Mike Herndon, columnist for PaulKaharski.com, does a fantastic job. Thank you so much, Mike. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
That was Mike Herndon, and when we come back, we're actually going to – I like that question, Vingan. We're going to get into that a little bit, the world of Twitter and the overreactions that happen, and a little bit of a commentary on Titans fans in particular. Come up next, Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Well, attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Well, that's right, guys. If you're struggling with ED, you're probably sick of those pills. I don't blame you. Hillside Medical Clinic uses the most advanced form of a technology. It's called wave therapy. Gentle pressure waves go through the skin into the blood vessels. It only requires a few 10-minute treatments, and it's clinically proven to get rid of the erectile dysfunction without the use of pills.
So, Andrew, what kinds of studies have been done on this wave therapy technology?
Well, it is extensive. 60 clinical studies. Think of that, from 5 countries all over the world. This is heavily vetted. Even Cambridge University studied this, and it was called the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
And, Andrew, you've got a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
We certainly do. Guys, if you're ready to end the ED and regain your love life, grab your phone, give us a call. The assessment, exam, and blood flow ultrasound is going to be free this morning. And this very popular gift that produces immediate results in the bedroom, you'll love that. It's worth hundreds of dollars. Call us now. It's all no charge.
You heard it, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000.
you were trying to say. I know you clarified on Twitter as well, but just your general thoughts on Treylon Burks' start to training camp and what you have seen from him.
Yeah, I would love to set the record straight. Yeah, it's kind of a crazy deal. So what I actually tweeted was, I described two plays from training camp. I think one was a ball that Malik Willis threw down the sidelines that Burks went up to try to make this. And he really made a spectacular catch. He just didn't end up getting his second foot inbounds because the corner did a good job of pushing him out. And then I described a play where, they were in a hurry-up period. And I believe Burks went in motion, and then Woodside had to kind of yell at him to move his position before the snap. So those were the two plays I described. And from that, somehow, the NBC Sports Edge, or I guess it's Roto World or whatever, took that and said, Treylon Burks working with the twos and threes, I guess inferring because I've mentioned Woodside and Willis on those two snaps, and then, struggling in camp, running the wrong route, doesn't know the offense, which is a huge leap from describing two individual plays and things that happened. So that of course got picked up by, I've seen it on NFL.com, I've seen it on ESPN Fantasy updates, all these other fantasy shows, which of course are very interested in Treylon Burks, are running with this, and it's just one of those absurd things. Like, of course, Burks is also getting work with Tannehill, but it's just silly to me that has become such a widely accepted truth all of a sudden based off of one misinterpreted blurb. So
that was Mike Hearn, last segment, PaulKarski.com, telling us about a really frustrating social media situation that happens quite a bit. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5, 106 through the game. And by the way, 102.5, 106 through the game, bringing you Nashville's best coverage of Titans training camp, presented by Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. So, Adam, first of all, I do want to get to this situation. I did want to ask you for a recollection, if you have something that may be like this, because it can be a minefield here. So we're going to get to that, but meanwhile, this turned also into like some Titans Twitter and fans going back and forth with media. So Dan Hanzus, and I hope I'm saying his name correctly, around the NFL podcast, NFL Network, got into it as well with Titans fans about this. And like a lot of people, the NBC Sports account, that's where it really was irresponsible here. But then a lot of people, as Mike said, ran with that. And all of a sudden it's turned into, it turned into like, oh, Treylon Burks. Oh my God. Like there's all of a sudden it was like flashback to the spring when there was legit concern because he couldn't couldn't participate in most of it. But let's listen to Dan talk about that situation now.
How about the Titans, Gravedigger? Where are we at on your Titans? By the way, are all fired up at the old Zeuser over the Power Rankings and Treylon Burks? Like, calm down.
I know.
I'm not making those reports. I'm citing reports.
So what happened was NBC Sports Edge picked up a tweet from actually my buddy. Yeah, Roto World, whatever they are now. Picked up a tweet where somebody at Titans camp said that Treylon Burks had caught a few passes with the second and third team quarterbacks and messed up one route assignment. And they reported that Burks is only working with the second and third teams and doesn't know where to line up and all this. It became a huge thing on Titans Twitter.
But this is what's exhausting about the Titans fans. And I love you guys, all the listeners. But you can't just chill. I have people coming in my mentions like, all right, Titans Nation, let's get this guy because he's incompetent. It's like, chill. Chill.
Is
don't
this
get
why
so
you
mad.
Tried to insinuate that I was beefing with the Titans?
I thought that because they're kind of a sensitive fan base. They're one of the sensitive fan bases that maybe they were coming after you.
That's what annoys them
said.
When you say that.
Yeah. Well,
when you say they're sensitive.
When you call
sensitive.
A fan base sensitive, then it proves self, to be true, yeah, but it's just like that. You know, like, it doesn't sound positive.
So that was Dan Hanzus and friends there talking about the situation, and I think laying it out well what the situation was. But first of all, there's a few things to unpack there. Okay, first of all, like how anyone could take one bit of information, anyone who has any experience at all covering the NFL, like, you have to know that all the quarterbacks are throwing to all the receivers every day. Every day. I mean, maybe Tannehill doesn't throw much to, like, the bottom of the roster receivers, but certainly the the backup quarterbacks get opportunities to throw to the starters. I mean, in these drills, there's a lot of mixing and matching. It's not like it's always ones with ones. So the fact that you would even try to make that leap from that tweet tells me you don't know how training camp works, which is somewhat problematic. But then, of course, Adam, we have the Titans fan base characterization there, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, and so I think every fan base has a pocket of people that is sensitive, people that are sensitive, just because they care so much about their favorite team. And it's been interesting over the past few years since the Titans have, you know, reemerged from the basement of the NFL to see how, you know, the fan base has reacted to what I believe they perceive to be a lack of respect. And I think this happens in all sports. This is not unique to Titans fans. But we were talking about this the other day off the air because I was curious about the Titans record over the past three seasons, specifically since Ryan Tannehill took over, but that was going to take a little bit more work. Even when you include the 2-4 start to the 2019 season before Tannehill replaced Marcus Mariota, their record, I think, was sixth best in the NFL over the past 3 years. And the teams ahead of them are teams that are considered, you know, the cream of the crop, like the Green Bay Packers, like the Kansas City Chiefs, like the Baltimore Ravens, who had a 14-2 season in there. Those teams that are talked about a lot and considered legitimate Super Bowl teams and teams that have won championships in the past few years, the Titans are right up there regular season wise. And I think that irks Titans fans that their team in the regular season has been one of the best teams in the league over the past 3 years, and they're not talked about a lot. Now, when Derrick Henry got hurt last year, that was a big deal, and that was talked about a lot. When Ryan Tannehill struggled in the playoffs, that was talked about a lot. But there hasn't been a lot of focus on the Titans, I feel like, in a positive way. You know, I feel like they've been discounted quite a bit, even when they had teams that were competing at a high level. So I can see where, you know, Titans fans are sensitive about their favorite team and why perhaps they're getting a bad rap from people who aren't in Nashville about how sensitive they are.
Okay, when we come back, we'll stick with that because I have thoughts on this this sensitive fan base thing, especially like in the context of NFL fan bases. Whew! And also, definitely still want to get into the social media pitfalls because anybody who does what we do has experienced that. So we will get into that. Make sure also, folks, that you know that you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, and we will get back to that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, Robbie Stanley here to tell you Twin Peaks is the best place to be for your fantasy football draft party, which includes a draft board, player stickers, free Wi-Fi, a $50 bonus for the commish, and a $5 bonus card for each drafter as well. When you're not on the clock, relax with one of Twin Peaks' refreshing 29-degree beers or order some of the fan favorites like the double stack nachos, loaded fries, and multiple flavors of boneless wings as well. Call Twin Peaks in Cool Springs to book your fantasy football draft party at 615-221-0869.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrope, Hillside Medical Game Studio, 102.5-106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Talking Titans and talking a couple different things. Titans fans, the quote-unquote sensitive Titans fan base, and also social media situations that have been problematic. We'll get to that, but on the fan base question, this is an all-time pet peeve. I've talked about this, but the characterization of any significantly sized fan base as this or that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Vol Twitter, we can all agree Vol Twitter as an entity is something special. Okay?
Intense.
Yeah. Intense. But the reason, I mean, well, there's things that are, there are different elements there. One is just obviously on Twitter, huge college football in particular fan bases, I think, go at it like nothing else, right? I think college football and college basketball, I think too, with some fan bases, some programs, but like the college football fandom and the passion and the bitterness toward the fan bases and programs you dislike, I think that the emotion is just higher. I really do. Now, I think somebody who's like strictly an NFL fan or strictly an NBA fan, whatever, in NHL, might say, no, that's BS. We know that in all these sports and leagues and everything, there's fan sniping. I think it's a special level in college football. That's just my opinion. But also, with Tennessee, it's just a huge, huge fan base. And it's been long-suffering. So you have this Vol Twitter thing that everybody talks about. But again, so you're going to broad brush an entire fan base because there are, I mean, I know plenty of Tennessee fans who are as rational and chill, you know, as you could ever ask for. It's the loudest people don't represent the whole, right? So like even like Hanzus is, it's just an interesting idea that this is an especially sensitive fan base. I would bet that if he said something to piss off Packers fans or Patriots fans or Steelers fans or Cowboys fans, bigger fan bases, longer running fan bases with generational fandom, he'd find out what sensitivity is.
No, for sure. And you know, the Titans relative to those teams is a young fan base. I know the Titans have been here for decades at this point, but you know, they are a team that has had, you know, they had success early on. They've come and gone in terms of their success in the NFL hasn't been sustained, but there are very few teams that can have sustained success in the NFL. I agree with you that it is irresponsible or short-sighted, whatever you want to say, to characterize an entire fan base based on the actions or feelings or emotions of a smaller group. The issue in that case, though, is that that smaller group is the most vocal, and that is what people tend to see and listen to. You end up perhaps mischaracterizing an entire group. I mean, it is, you know, it's always dangerous to work with a small sample. And I would be interested to hear from Titans fans on and whether, you know, how they feel about that. But certainly, you know, social media is a minefield in and of itself. There is always going to be someone that disagrees with what you said, even if you take care in how you're presenting the information. I mean, we used to live in a world where we only had 140 characters on Twitter. Now we have 280, and even that is not enough sometimes to provide proper context, as Mike Herndon, you know, learned the other day and explained just now on the show. So, yeah, you know, social media has changed our lives. It's changed the way that we digest information and disseminate information, but you know, it's not without its pratfalls, that's for sure.
So Tom from Clarksville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says, we are a slightly sensitive fan base due to the constant disrespect or overlooking we get from national media outlets. And look, I do. Like, I absolutely agree that certain fan bases have certain, well, narratives, I guess. Mm-hmm. to use a word I don't like and yet still use too often. But I think that's absolutely something that, however you react to it, you know, whether you're one of the loud people on Twitter or not, I think that's absolutely a thing that Titans fans think and feel and talk about. And I think there's some validity to it. You laid that out last segment, Adam. So I think that's probably what fuels these interactions, is that Titans fans feel like they are disrespected relative to the rest of the NFL. And certainly, they are overlooked. I mean, this team, I think there's been some good teams look, this year, is it market related? Is it fan base size related? You know, I don't think so. I think that stuff goes into how often a team is talked about. I mean, we've talked about this with Jared before, and plenty of other people. Like, the Cowboys are going to, they're going to find their way into the discussion regardless of what they are on the field, because it just moves the needle like few teams in any sport can. So that's, they're going to get into the discussion. And some of the other teams I mentioned earlier, the usual suspects, Steelers are, I don't think they're going to be very good this year. There's still going to be a whole lot of talk about the Steelers because they just have a huge, huge following. So that matters. And that does, I think, factor in. I also just think it has been at times like not exciting team related, but some of that is being misinformed. Last year was a year that I saw a huge difference going into the season in conversation about the Titans, because of, I think Julio Jones is a huge part of that, but Derrick Henry coming off 2000, it looked like, wow, this is going to be one of the most fun teams to watch. So that's part of it too. So long story short, I think there is absolutely validity to that. I just, like, Hanzu saying that, it's like, man, I think you need to work to piss off some other fan bases to find out about how, my gosh, let's not even start talking about Cleveland Browns fans and some of their twittering about Deshaun Watson, right?
You know, what's interesting, and I was thinking about this while you were talking about it, is, you know, think about how far the Titans have come in just the past several years. I mean, when I moved here in 2015, and at that time, you know, I think the most marketable player, and you can correct me if I have my timeline incorrectly here, even though I was here before you were, the most marketable player that the Titans had was Taylor Lewan. And we like Taylor Lewan. He's feisty, he gives great quotes. But he's an offensive lineman, like and Mariota, was a number two pick in the draft. But as we know, Marcus, was not a beacon of personality. Let's just put it that way. I'm not even sure if that's the right terminology, but did not have that personality that grabbed people's attention. And to your point, you know, now they have arguably the best running back in the league in Derrick Henry. And last year they made a big trade for Julio Jones, and there are more aspects of the Titans that are exciting. I mean, I know the team was 2-14 not that long ago, but it's interesting. I used to joke that when I first moved here that it's interesting to watch a team whose best player was clearly the punter. Brett Kern was the best player on the team, and that's obviously changed. But I think that has something to do with it too, is the marketable players, players that are going to get talked about a lot. They have Derrick Henry, there are other, Jeffrey Simmons, I think, is emerging as a player like that. But there aren't a lot of players on the team that grab people's attention that, make people outside of Nashville want to talk about them, if that makes sense.
It does. I thought you were going to tread into the territory of probably the biggest argument Robbie and I have ever had, which is the Taylor Lewan was the face of the franchise back when Mariota was quarterback. I was like, no, but you're right that he has that person. Look, they have a very successful podcast, which.
So your Robbie's argument is that he was, and that your argument is that he wasn't.
Yeah, okay. I mean, he was never the face of the franchise. I mean, look, like it or not, and you're right, of course, we all remember Marcus Mariota, and he was not Mr. Personality, but if you went to a Titans game back then or walked around town with Titans fans, you saw probably about 27 number 8 jerseys for every 77 jersey you might have seen someone wearing, right? It's just number 2 pick quarterback, that's whether you like it or not. He may have been a quiet face, but he was the face of the franchise at the time. You could even say Delanie Walker if you want.
Yeah, I have to mention.
Especially at that point, yeah, Lewan was also kind of problematic, right? He had his captaincy stripped, and he was still getting like too many dumb personal fouls. Whatever. Anyway, I think you make a lot of good points there. Unnamed in the text line, but a good, and I've heard this, the no national coverage complaint is one of the silliest complaints ever. I think it gets over-discussed and overblown But look, I understand fans. If you're a fan of an NFL team and you watch all these discussion shows and pregame shows and things like that, I mean, you want to see your team talked about, and you notice some teams talked about all the time, even if it's their performance doesn't warrant it. So I get that. I mean, it's not nearly as silly as that announcer is against our team and is cheering for the other team complaint that, oh, I mean, I sometimes in my own home, I'm like, please stop. Like, I'm like it's going to be just like, you know, that one drives me crazy.
Unless you're watching the Homer broadcasts of the NCAA tournament and the college football playoff.
Well, sure. Like, or even if you're just watching like a local broadcast of a team, fine, you know, but this, like last year, speaking of all Twitter, like Greg McElroy, the Alabama-Tennessee game, he called it great. He's very careful. He does a good job. And it was just like, hey, can he be more of a homer? It's like, no, he's actually not being a homer. But anyway, we still haven't gotten to, I want all of us to come with a story. James on the text line, you guys are so sensitive this morning. This is kind of a sensitive show, right? It's kind of an emo show. But I want us to all come after the break, coming up next, with our most harrowing or problematic social media story as a media person. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hey, Nashville, we are. And 106.3 The Game, Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 p.m. for the Federated Auto Parts 400. Also, join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for race weekend. NASCAR and 102.5, 106.3 The Game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road. And we are talking. Okay, let's have some stories. Story time. So I'm going to pass it around. We've been talking about sensitive fans and social media leaps and all this stuff. And by the way, on my personal text line, Jared agrees with me against Robbie on the Mariota Lewan face of the franchise argument. So there you go. See, we don't disagree on everything. But Adam or Michelle, who wants to go first?
Adam.
I guess an Insta post. By the way, I guess there's a really great Tommy Lee Insta post that's making the rounds from last night. But be careful on just stumbling into that one. But social media mishap or just a twisting of what you were meant or something like that turned into a thing. There has to be something, and I would think more than one thing.
Oh, man. See, the problem is, I can't think of one clearly off the top of my head. I do think that because, I tend to be quite careful on social media in terms of what I say. I do think that something that, you know, I think all of us have fallen prey to, and I can speak to this, is when you're transcribing a quote from somebody after a game, and you know you're listening to the press conference or you're in the scrum and you're tweeting quickly and you're not able to provide the context. Like someone says something and then everybody, I mean I'm sure it's happened multiple times with a Predators player saying something after a game and then everyone be like, what does he mean by that, you know, something like that. But you don't have the context of like how he's saying it or how he's looking while he's saying it. You just see the words and you blow them out of proportion. So I'll continue to rack my brain, but I can't, I'm sorry to disappoint, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head that was so bad that I had to play cleanup afterwards.
Okay, I can't find the exact tweet, but I'll just like unless Joe, you have an exact tweet, I'm going for a deep dive right now. If not, I can just explain the situation.
Yeah, go ahead. So I stink at searching my tweets. Like Robbie has showed me how to do it, but I can't figure it out. So yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I didn't even know you could do that. Wow, you learn something new every day.
Yeah, Twitter advanced search.
So I find myself, you know, getting in some predicaments, I guess we could say, during the college basketball season, because as we all know, you know, I'm a Kentucky fan. But I will like to say I can be the type of fan that says, you know, when they're playing bad or when they are, you know, just plain out sucking, right? So I had a tweet. It was something about, you know, Tennessee basketball. Does anybody remember that series where it was like, you know, Kentucky beat them the first game by like, I think it was like 40 points or something like crazy. And then like Tennessee beat them. And it was a back and forth thing. And I tweeted something, you know, about the games and said, like, you know, if Kentucky plays like that, like they will beat any team, you know, in the country, national championship performance, like that specific game. And then, you know, once they went to Knoxville, all these tweets saying, like, LOL, you said, like, Kentucky is going to win the national championship and just all this stuff. And I was like, no, I said that specific game. And then it was like just tweeting at me like, oh, you said Kentucky's the best team in college basketball right now. You're only saying that because you went to Kentucky. I'm like, no, like that specific performance. And then it just turned into like, you're only saying that because you were like obsessed with Kentucky, yada, yada, all this stuff. And then it turned into, you're a girl, you have no idea what you're talking about. And I just was like, okay, I'm just not responding anymore. This is just like, I'm mute. I pulled a Joe, mute. But basically, I feel like sometimes whenever you say, like, you know, somebody is, you know, a Super Bowl, they're going to win the Super Bowl, or just say like a bold statement like that, like, no, that is not what I said. I said that performance could win a national championship against any team, which I still stand on. But people on Twitter don't read all the way through, or they just choose to read what they want to see. So that was mine.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, you just got to go on a mute fest right there. And that's, actually, I'm glad you brought that aspect of it up, because Adam and I can sit here and talk about people being jerks on Twitter, blah, blah. From every aspect, including this aspect, women in sports media, it's a totally different thing, because you got the total idiots who have to go there as well.
Oh,
right?
It's the easiest response for anybody. So
yeah, yes. So yes, muting is a wonderful thing. So I've had a whole bunch of like the tweeting out a quote or part of a quote, and then it's like, and sometimes when I screwed up, like I looked at it and I was like, oh yeah, I should have explained it, or like if you just read those words, it can, because sometimes you're tweeting at a press conference and it's like, oh, that's a quote. And you tweet it out, and then the meaning, I can't think of a great specific one, but it's happened quite a few times. I think, Adam, the fact that it hasn't happened a lot for you shows you that you're more careful than I am on Twitter, so kudos to you. Huh. But one instance that really comes to mind for me is, I think it would have been either 14 or 15. I was at Value City Arena at Ohio State, which is one of my least favorite basketball arenas, by the way. Love the city. Love Columbus. Love the football stadium, best in the Big Ten. Hate the basketball arena. It's just totally antiseptic, blah place. Anyway, press row there is up behind a basket, and then like the tunnel where the players and coaches come out is right below you, okay? So Ohio State came back, beat Michigan State, and you know, it was a pretty good game, but it was kind of emotional, all this stuff. So Izzo's coming through the tunnel, and as you guys may know, Izzo, friend of the show, consultant to the show, is an emotional person. And so an Ohio State fan, an older woman, said something to him that, like, screaming something at him. I couldn't hear it, but, like, it infuriated him. And so he actually came back, and then a couple, like, one of the players and one of the assistant coaches, like, grabbed him, okay? And like, come on, let's go to the locker room. Like he was coming back to like to say something, and they're like, nah. Like they kind of grabbed him. He had a look of total rage on his face, going in the tunnel. So my tweet, and again, if I was good at advanced search, I'd read the exact tweet. But I know that I used the word restrained in the tweet. Okay, like Tom Izzo had to be restrained. And let me just tell you, the next day had a very interesting and lengthy discussion with Tom Izzo on the phone. Not that he saw the tweet, because he's not on Twitter, but he was told about it.
I have your tweet, Joe. I found it.
But okay,
Tom Izzo
was the tweet.
Tom, oh, just kidding. Different restrained with Tom Izzo. Sorry, I spoke too soon.
Yeah, well, there are probably multiple instances of that. Oh, I was gonna be excited. So what was that? What year was that from?
This was 2015. Tom Izzo restrained from official Oakland Tech shots to tie it here.
Okay. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I think I used the word restrained. That's what I remember as the big point in contention, because his point was, so you made it sound like I was about to go fight a woman in the crowd. And I'm like, no, but you those guys had to pull you back into the tunnel. I mean, what's the right word for it? Anyway, there's an example of, like, word usage is important and can be problematic, and people you're tweeting about or just people reading about it can go nuts with it. It's not really related to the thing we're talking about with Herndon, but it's another example of how it can really, like, you got to really be careful, because I should have better explained the situation. That was the 140 character era, so it was more difficult. We have less excuse now for not getting some more context into things that we tweet in the moment, you know, than we did before.
Yeah, and I'm going to search for this tweet because now I want to see it. So, do you remember where? Do you remember when the game was? You said 2014 or 2015.
I suppose it could have even been in the 16 season. It was one of my last two or three seasons of covering them. It was at Ohio State. So I might be able to try to figure that out. But in the meantime, when we come back, we're going to figure out who the most important Titans tonight are. I got a top 10 list of Titans to watch for the preseason opener. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.